3 through 4. He says, "But with me it's a very small thing, and I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord." In other words, Paul's saying there, he doesn't care if he's judged by the saints at Corinth or by anyone else, because his conscience is clear. He knows nothing against himself. That means he's not aware of anything he's doing that's wrong. Yet having a clear conscience and not being aware of anything we are doing that's wrong, that doesn't necessarily mean we aren't doing anything that's wrong. It doesn't necessarily mean we're innocent just because we feel innocent, okay? Our conscience can be completely wrong because it's operating out of a moral value system that's not truly righteous. Okay, therefore, in the end, only God can rightly judge people, and only his judgment is what matters. That's what Paul's saying. See, he's saying, I don't know anything about myself. There's nothing I'm doing wrong that I know of. My conscience is clear. You know, I'm not going to justify myself on that basis. I hereby am still not justified, but God's going to justify me when he judges me. So the fact that we can be misled, even as believers with good intentions and a good conscience, which means we're not aware of anything we're doing wrong. All that means is we have to reject the idea that our conscience can be our guide. Did you ever hear that? Let your conscience be your guide? That's a false cliche. The purpose of the conscience is not to guide people. That's God's job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. The purpose of the conscience is to warn us when we are going against the value system we have embraced, whatever that value system is. And so the better the value system, the better the conscience can fulfill its purpose, okay? Now, when he was being tried for his heretical views, you all know that Martin Luther is a very famous saying. You know, they told him to recant, and Martin Luther said, "My conscience is captive to the word of God." You know, he couldn't recant. And that's how we all should be. Our consciences should be captive to, that means they should operate out of, the moral standards, the moral values laid out in Scripture. If our conscience is captive to, that means if our conscience is operating out of any other value system, like, for instance, the surrounding culture, it's going to hurt us instead of help us. It's not going to give us the right warning signals. Now, unless it's become seared with a hot iron and totally useless, the conscience will always accuse us when we violate whatever moral standard or value system we have embraced. However, that moral system may be quite wrong. The moral system we're walking in can be wrong when viewed in the light of God's word. So the conscience is not really a safe guide by itself. It can only give its approval or disapproval to the moral standard, to the moral values that we ourselves hold. It will never tell you that your value system is wrong, that your value system needs to be upgraded or more righteous or anything like that, okay? But what it amounts to is your conscience has to be trained. Your conscience has to be trained, just like our minds have to be trained. You know, as our minds are renewed by studying and obeying the revelation of Scripture, so our consciousness becomes more reliable as our value system becomes more righteous. So it's critical to understand that the conscience is a servant. It's a servant of whatever value system we have embraced. And that remains true after we're converted. If you want an example of that, see how it goes after you're converted. You look at the Corinthian church, when the brother, Paul talks about the weak conscience of the one who can't eat meat. Paul says in Corinthians that the brother who's weak, the brother has a weak conscience, he's the one who doesn't have the kind of knowledge, the scriptural knowledge, that the more mature brother has regarding food. The weak brother has an incorrect religious value system. His value system isn't quite right. And so he's weak, and he suffers guilt if he ever eats meat that's been offered or sold in the temple markets. The more mature brother has a different religious value system. It's a different view, okay, what the gospel is and what walking in the Spirit is. And based on that more perfect knowledge of the new covenant, he walks free of guilt when it comes to eating meat. Okay, so if he eats some meat he found out was purchased in the temple market, it doesn't bother his conscience because he has more knowledge. He has more maturity. So the conscience is directly related to whatever value system, how mature you are spiritually. The issue between the weak brother who won't eat meat and a more mature brother who can is never going to be resolved on the basis of comparing their consciousness. It has to be resolved on the basis of adjusting someone's religious value system, someone's spiritual view. Either the weak brother's got to have an increase in knowledge, an increase in maturity in the truth regarding meat, or else a stronger brother is going to have to compromise and reject some of the knowledge he has received regarding the whole issue. That's the only way it's going to get straightened out. Our conscience will only change when the religious value system we're walking in changes. The conscience does not and cannot modify the moral values we espouse. It cannot create another, better or worse, value system for us to follow. The only thing the conscience can do is monitor our present value system. And as our value system becomes more holy and more righteous and comes more in line with the Word of God and the Spirit of God, then the monitoring of the conscience gets better. Its warning system, its bells go off better. So there's a lot more I could say there in the subject, but just let me give you an example of how this works out in life in a bad way. Okay, in modern psychology, for instance, the function of the conscience is seen as the enemy. Guilt is considered bad. We shouldn't accept feelings of guilt because we're all morally equal and our deeds are neither good nor bad since there's no moral absolutes. People rejected the Ten Commandments. They rejected right and wrong. They rejected all the laws of the country. Everybody does what's right in his own eyes. There's no more absolutes. So if there's no more absolutes, and your deeds can either be better or worse than mine. We're all the same, no matter what we do. That's why psychology is so damaging. It will tell you to ignore that guilt. Don't even pay attention to it. And anyone who listens to that contrast, you know, of course, they're going to end up with a seared conscience very quickly. It doesn't take much to sear a person's conscience. All you got to do is repeatedly ignore the warning signals your conscience gives you. And first, the signal starts getting weaker and weaker when you ignore it. And then finally, you keep on ignoring it, it just stops altogether. You know, it's much like what happens to a person when they get leprosy. You all know about that. It's, you know, it's the pain we feel in our bodies when we step on a nail or injure our feet, something like that. That's what lets us know something's wrong, something has happened, and we need to get our attention on it. Okay? You take away that pain, and you're never going to know what's happening down there at your feet. You could have a 9-inch nail go through, clean through your shoe and up to the top of your foot, and you'd never know it because there's no more feeling in your feet, okay? Because this leprosy does that. Well, no feeling, no pain. But the fact that there's no pain, that doesn't stop the fact that there was an injury, and it won't stop the infection from that injury from completely destroying your foot and probably your leg within 2 weeks. It's the same thing morally with the conscience. People get relieved when they no longer feel the pain of guilt when they do something wrong. They get relieved and they no longer feel that internal struggle that takes place when they violate their own moral or religious value system, whatever it is. But you see, they're only hurting themselves because it's that pain, it's that guilt, it's that struggle that lets you know something's wrong. And you're only hurting themselves because, you know, the moral infection that results from a dead conscience is horrible and it ends up in a lake of fire. So we need to be thankful for our conscience. We need to be thankful we can feel the pain of guilt when we do something wrong. We need to be thankful that our consciousness is still capable of causing us an internal struggle or turmoil when we do something wrong because it's sending us a warning signal trying to help us. Now, for the Christian, one of the misconceptions that are going around, sometimes it's spoken, sometimes it's unspoken, but still we get the same mindset, is that the Holy Spirit replaces the human conscience. And it does not. The Holy Spirit does not replace our conscience. When it comes to warning us about things, many times the Holy Spirit works through our conscience. Doesn't go around it. Doesn't talk to us instead of. He works right through the conscience. And as a matter of fact, the person who has really been born again, they should have a conscience that's been not only cleansed, but it's being sharpened more and more every day. As you separate more and more from the world. As you separate more and more from self. As you separate more and more from sin. Okay? You separate more and more from all this religious craziness that's going on out there. Then the conscience should become more sharper. Unfortunately, one of the reasons Christians get so deceived so easily, especially out here, is because they're taught in the churches. You know, they say, oh, you got to be led by the Spirit. You got to walk in the Spirit and all that stuff. But they don't want to listen to the conscience when it tries to warn them. They want to hear the Spirit, but they won't hear their conscience. They have a bad habit of ignoring their conscience whenever it tries to warn them about something they don't want to be warned about. Okay, they have some lust, has some desire, has some thing, goal, has some relationship, and the conscience is there going, ding, 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 is wrong, ding, 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 wrong. And I don't want to hear that. I want to hear the Holy Ghost. I want to be led by the Spirit. So, you know, they ignore their conscience, and they expect the Holy Spirit to lead them anyway. I mean, it's crazy. They ignore the commandments laid down in the New Testament, and they expect the Holy Spirit to guide them. And when their conscience tries to warn them, hey, this is, you know, ding, 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 you're ignoring the Bible's rules, you're ignoring what God said, they ignore it. They don't know how to. They refuse to die to self out here. And they expect the Holy Spirit to lead them anyway. And when their conscience rises up and says, ding, 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 you're not, something wrong here. They ignore it. They don't want to hear it. They refuse to quit playing around with the world and the things of the world and the Spirit that's behind all that stuff. Yet they expect the Holy Spirit to lead them. And when their conscience goes, ding, 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 wrong, 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 they ignore it. They refuse to separate from unbelieving friends, from unbelieving family members, from, you know, people can destroy them, and their conscience says, ding, 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 something's wrong, stop, stop, stop. They ignore it. They say, oh, the Holy Spirit will lead me. The Holy Spirit will guide me. We don't listen to that thing. That thing's an irritation. I'm going to go pray to the Holy Spirit, and he'll guide me. I have news for you. That kind of stupidity is a recipe for eternal spiritual disaster. Walking like that is an open invitation to demons. If that's the way you're going to treat your conscience, it won't be long before the Spirit is talking to you and leading you and guiding you is the Spirit of Antichrist. All right, part of being led by the Spirit is listening to your conscience. When it starts sending you a warning signal, when you start feeling bad, when you start feeling grieved, when you know you're doing something wrong, don't ignore it. It's the job of your conscience to alert us when we're violating our own moral code, our own religious value system, our own spiritual thing that we're walking in, okay? And the Holy Spirit uses that conscience many times as he seeks to direct our paths. Now, the conscience isn't leading us, but many times the Holy Spirit leads us through the conscience. And when the Spirit is using your conscience to warn you of something, to draw you away from a situation that's going to destroy you, and you turn a deaf ear to that conscience, you're not just turning a deaf ear to the conscience, you're turning a deaf ear to God, the very Holy Spirit that, you know, you want to lead you and guide you. See, we Christians are crazy. We should be cultivating and training our conscience so it becomes sharper and sharper. We shouldn't be ignoring it whenever we don't want to face or deal with the issue it's trying to warn us about because we don't like it. That's crazy. Neither should we expect the Holy Spirit to replace our conscience. He doesn't replace it. He's never going to replace it. The Holy Spirit wants to use our conscience. He wants to cleanse it, sharpen it. See, the conscience has a built-in monitoring system. Now, it's not really good to somebody unless they're a Christian because it's not going to help you get saved, not going to help you get to heaven, not going to get you in the kingdom. It's not going to perfect you, but it's still a built-in monitoring system that's there. And the Holy Spirit wants to sharpen it, cleanse it, and use it to help us keep us out of trouble. Anyway, now I'm not going to go into any detail here regarding how you can train your conscience, how you can sharpen it, anything like that, because I want to just speak for a few minutes to the brethren out there who's going to be hearing this message later on in the week, who are battling these hellish religious spirits right now. So I'm going to just show you what we do when somebody has this kind of spirit and they come to us. What usually happens is, see, religious spirits are religious. They don't tell you to go out and drink and smoke and gamble and lay with a neighbor. They tell you to read the Bible. They tell you to pray. They tell you to do everything the Holy Spirit tells you to do. They give you visions. They give you dreams. They talk to you. They give you illumination when you read the Bible. They just do everything the Holy Spirit can do. That's all there is to it. So the only way to get free from something like that, when you've got to the point where you can no longer tell the difference, you just, one minute you're following the Holy Spirit, next minute you're following religious spirits, you have no idea what's going on, you have no idea how they'll do it. Once you get to that point, most of the time, the only answer is to just stop being religious. Put it all down. Put the Bible down. Put praying down. What happens is people are afraid to do that because you're afraid you're, you know, God will see that as turning their back on God. You got to assure them that this is your only way to get free from these spirits. They're imitating the Holy Ghost. They're counterfeiting everything the Holy Spirit does in your life. There's no other way to get free from that but to stop being religious. Okay? And then usually God will give those people, when they're with us, one or two things, he'll speak to them through us. He'll show us something. One or two things that he wants them to do. Just simple things, natural things. Go to work and do a good job. You know, lay down your life for other people as far as in the natural. Nothing spiritual. Don't try and be super spiritual. Just try and die yourself. Do certain things. Two or three things, and that's all God asks them to do. It's not spiritual. It's natural. But it is spiritual in the end because God's going to use that. Okay? And he'll tell them to do this and that, and that's it. Nothing else. Nothing else spiritual. Forget religion, forget God, forget the devil, forget demons, forget it all. And, of course, people can't quite handle that at first, but these spirits get so bad, they torment them to death, and they finally start listening. But what happens is, the reason his conscience is so important is because God can still lead them without them realizing it if they'll listen to their conscience. See, what happens is people want to hear God's voice. They want to be led by the Spirit. They want to have God tell them what to do, give them a feeling, give them a vision, give them a dream, give them some kind of witness, whatever, so they can know what to do during the day, how to live, how to walk, all right? And God said, well, none of that, all that's been defiled now. I can't talk to you because you don't know the difference between my voice and a demon. You can't read the Bible because you don't know who's talking to you read the Bible, a demon or me. All that stuff's been defiled in your life. You can't straighten it out. You just got to stop it. And God gives them a few things to do, and as long as they obey, they'll be fine. Now, the religious bone's going to act up and want to do things and want to hear God's voice and have more dreams and be led, but you got to fight that. If they will just do the few things that God tells them to do and listen to their conscience, When they do something wrong, the conscience will tell them. Not speak to them literally. You know, you get a bing, bing, bing. You feel bad, and you'll know when you do something wrong. Your conscience is telling you. You know that it's not a foreign entity. It's from within inside you. You lived with it your whole life. When you get in this condition and you're trying to be helped, and you can't be religious, and you can't do all the things you've done before, you're just kind of limbo, trying to get free from these spirits. The conscience is one of the main ways God can help somebody. So I wanted to bring this out about the conscience tonight, because it's very important that we all listen to our conscience. Whether we're a normal Christian, whether you're a Christian that's been involved in these spirits and you're trying to get free from these crazy religious spirits, the conscience is very important. And for those who get in this condition where they can't do anything spiritual because they've been involved in the spirits so deeply, the conscience is a salvation, because if you just listen, if the people listen to their conscience without them realizing that God will be helping them. But we were helping one person, and I had this dream about this person. And in this person is not very big, not very strong, but in this dream, they were huge, like a muscular bodybuilder, you know, just muscles rippling and strong. And we were trying to get this person to stop being so religious. And in this dream, this person wasn't defying me, wasn't being rebellious, but the person was saying, I can't do that. I got to pray. I got to do this. I got to read the Bible. I must find God. I must obey God. I must do that, you know, because they're so used to, if you don't do these things, you're not a Christian anymore, and God will destroy you, and you'll be the devil's property and all this stuff. Finally, after I got that dream, God gave me a revelation of, you know, through that dream and how to deal with this person, and we broke that. It's a strong drive to be religious. And as soon as you open up that and start doing those things again, those spirits come in, and you cannot tell the difference between whose voice is talking. So you have to get away from that for a while, and then you have to be around somebody eventually when you start reading your Bible again, when you start praying again, when you start, you know, getting in the spirit again. You got to be with people who can recognize what voice you're starting to hear, you know, what's going on with you. And that's why God raises up people like us who are sensitive to spirit, the discernment of spirits, called discernment of spirits in Corinthians, one of the gifts. But this thing about the conscience is so very important, because normal Christians now, they're coming out of here and saying, well, we're not going to pay attention to our conscience. We just want to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. That's craziness. The Holy Spirit speaks, helps you through your conscience, at least in a negative sense. It's the Holy Spirit that's many times it's making your conscience, you know, more mature and more sharper. And the conscience gives you a warning signal, and you know you did something wrong. You got to stop something. And that's not being led directly by the Holy Spirit, but it's helping people. It'll help you stay, you know, out of trouble. Even the unsaved have a conscience. If they'll just listen to it, they won't get into the trouble they're usually in, okay? So I just want to bring it out tonight about the conscience, and I wanted to give people who are of all these spirits a little encouragement. When you get of all those spirits, it takes radical things to get free. You got to do a lot of things you would never imagine doing in your life, because it's a religious problem. We tell people, don't try and hear God's voice. Don't try and be led by God. Just do the few things God has spoken. Just do them. That's it. Let God work. Let God work. If he's trying to save somebody, he's going to save you. But we got to do it God's way. All right, but even for regular Christians, you have to cultivate and teach, you train your conscience. You know, the conscience is a very important part of our walk. And you can't ignore your conscience and then try and be led by the Holy Spirit. That's insanity. And a lot of people are doing that. Okay? It's a very important thing, our conscience. And when we get saved, Jesus doesn't come in and replace it. He wants to use it, sanctify it, and use it and sharpen it. All right? I guess that's it. Anybody have any comments? Is everybody still there? Can you still hear me? Anybody have any comments? Go ahead. Okay. Joe, you have anything? Your mom or anybody? Okay. Looks like Joey has something. Hang on a second.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that message, Dan. That was good. Well, hello, everyone. Here we are again. And good to see you all. I trust that you guys are doing well in the Lord. I hope you all had a good week. I was not gonna mention anything about what I'm about to share. I think it's more of a testimony and personal journal, or even as a reference for me personally, which I hope it can also be a blessing to somebody somehow. I just wanted to thank the Lord for the message Brother Dan delivered last week about the issue of dying to self. I was pretty much convicted, and the Lord was dealing with me all week about that. in a specific way, probably even a deeper manner than I have ever seen before, which kind of led me to seriously change my attitude about some things in my personal life and adjust accordingly. Personally, as the Lord was dealing with me this week about this vital subject, I realized I absolutely had no idea of what dying to self is all about. I spoke about it in the past, professed it, like many others often do, because I strongly believed in it. But in actuality, I was absolutely ignorant of it by life and by practice. I realized this week that it's not about having the right doctrine that's going to help you to produce a walk of divine life. It's not just about doing religious things or quote-unquote working for the Lord that will produce a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not even just about giving money or giving away things to bless others. The Lord says if you lose your life, you will find it. In fact, I think it was Dan that mentioned something that kind of hit me the other day. He said, you can even be doing the work of the Lord and use God and Christianity to serve yourself. He said that it is not dying to self at all. And you know, that really hit me because it's true. A good example I can think of, besides myself, is when King Saul was given an instruction through the prophet Samuel to do certain things for the Lord. Everything Saul did was completely opposite of what the prophet told him to do and how he is to carry out the battle of the Lord. His inward self-serving motives and agendas dictated how he was ungodly carrying out the work of the Lord, and he clothed it with religious sacrifices and spiritual talks that completely ended up in disaster, having his kingdom torn from him and God having to shamefully reject him as king. So it is very easy, even in the most practical day-to-day decisions we make, the possessions and things we acquire out of covetousness or love of the world, or the clothes and other things we buy out of a spirit of vanity and self-love. These things are very common, even for those who came out of the church system. In fact, can even be worse for us who are out here, because we can easily justify ourselves, our selfishness, and our phony death to self just because we are, quote-unquote, dying to all the crazy religious practices, dying to ecumenism that's going on in the church system. But little do we know, we're still pampering and in fact indulging ourselves with the love of the world motivated by our lack of denying to self or self-denial, creating our own ungodly system, just like King Saul. So many today have encamped themselves along with King Saul spiritually because of a false life of death to self, ending up living a life of religious deception. And so, you know, as I was meditating on the Lord's exhortations to me this week about the message and life of dying to self, I just kind of wanted to mention and share my heart tonight about how easily we can think we are dying to self when in reality we're actually pretty deceived about this very critical issue. And I myself are very guilty of that deception. I say very critical because it is a fact that especially in the time we're living in, with all the increasing intensity of the power of seducing spirits and antichrist demons all around us, and with all the secular propagation of all types and forms of things to arouse the body and flesh, to stir up emotions and earthly affections, you know, it calls us to a jungle warfare that should fire us up to agonize and pray and practice to live a life of being spiritual warriors or soldiers against our selfish agendas and lusts that comes from our old Adamic man. Not only then we can begin to walk in the life of Christ, but also begin to be delivered from Christian religion that's open so wide to religious influences and susceptible to all kinds of deceptions. Without the life of following Christ and the path he has laid out for us to take up our cross and truly denying ourselves daily with heart convictions, instead of just making it as a cliche, defeat is the only option being devoured by Antichrist in these last days. That's all I wanted to share, as I was being corrected and exhorted this week. So hopefully somebody gets blessed. So good night, and God bless.
Amen. That's a good testimony, Joey. Alrighty. Well, anybody have anything to share or say or add? Or? Alrighty. Well, we'll shut her down then and get out of this situation. Hopefully next week it'll be better. I don't know what's going on. Thanks for coming, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for sticking with it. I guess we'll see you next week. God willing, and the river don't rise.